Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Saving the Second Amendment, one episode at a time. This is the Gun Guy TV Podcast.
Hi, I'm Joel Persinger. I'm the Gun Guy. Thank you very much for all of your support of Gun Guy TV and for listening to the Gun Guy TV Firearms Podcast. I am incredibly grateful. We're going to talk to Steve Leminov of ATN. Now, ATN, as you may or may not know, is a major manufacturer of see-in-the-dark type optics, either thermal optics or night vision. And frankly, before this interview, I could not have explained the difference between the two or where one would be used or the other. I was quite the neophyte. I would say I still am, honestly. But Steve was kind enough to explain a lot of that, as well as the different kinds of optics they now make and what they have planned for the future. This interview took place in the press room at SHOT Show 2023. It is one of the several interviews I'm going to be posting here as a podcast just for you. So hopefully you will enjoy that. I do want you to know that obviously this is a volunteer effort on my part and everyone who helps me, including my son and Pete E., who is my producer. We're all volunteers. Nobody's getting paid. So it does cost more than it makes to produce the podcast and to do the Gun Guy TV thing. I know people get bored of my saying that, but the truth is it costs money. So if you'd like to support us, you can do that a couple of different ways. One, if you're in California, you could come take a class with us at Practical Defense Systems. That's the company I own, and that's where I actually make a living. I will put a link in the description. There are classes for security guards, obviously, but we also do firearms classes and concealed carry courses, and a whole bunch of simulator courses with a law enforcement simulator called a Milo in our office in Mission Valley. So if you're in San Diego County, that's a great place to go. Or if you like, you can always join Gun Guy TV Crew. That's an exclusive place where you get exclusive content you can't get anywhere else, and it helps promote Gun Guy TV. At the same time, you can go to GunGuyTVCrew.com. There is also a link in the description. Okay, sorry for the long-winded commercial. I apologize. Just trying to keep the thing going and keep the lights on. Let's go talk to Steve of ATN.
Well, Steve, I forgot. What is your last name? I promise you.
Leminov.
Leminov. Okay.
Yes. Now, I was born in Ukraine originally.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, how wonderful is that? Aren't you glad you're not there today?
Absolutely.
Do you still have family in Ukraine?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, are they okay?
They are.
Okay, I'm glad. That's
Thank
a good
you.
Thing. That's a good thing. Well, I'm glad that you are here. Thank you very much for joining us. I know that there's a person here who shall remain nameless, but he really likes the idea of optics that see some in the somewhat darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be this guy, Pete. So he was really excited about that. We get him a water by any chance? He was really excited about – okay, you're good to go. Okay. I was really excited about having you come on the show and talk with you, and I'm very excited about having you come on the show, and I would like you to do that on a regular basis so we can talk about what you do.
I would love that.
That would be great. And so you've met Pete Elmore, who's my producer and my personal friend. And
Pete, are you a night vision aficionado?
Yeah, I have so full-time I'm a pilot. And we have, on my airplane, we have a cryo-cooled IR camera.
So a cold system.
Yeah, that allows us to see, it's focused sub-2 micron for the IR stuff. And I actually have an IR camera that attaches on my phone.
Sure.
That will allow me from FLIR to see around.
Oh, FLIR one?
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
Seek makes one. There's a few models out there.
Yeah, right, right.
Fluke, yeah.
So, I've done some consulting for airports and had a couple of airports put in some of the FLIR IR cameras when they're looking at the runway, because they can see the runway and get a temperature sensor of the runway so they can see when they're about to become subject to icing.
Right.
Because the concrete temperature or asphalt temperature is never, ever
consistent?
Well, it's related to the air temperature.
Right.
Right.
And also it helps with fog, right? Because thermal sees through fog.
Right. To a really good extent, depending on dry versus damp and how dense and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so taking this and moving it to my my fun toys is just a natural thing for me.
Absolutely.
And then you've met my son, I think. This is my son, Nick. Nick is a, to put it mildly, I am proud of Nick. That's got to be the understatement of the century. I'm going to stop saying that to him because his head's going to get fatter and fatter and fatter if I do.
Well, it's great when a father can be proud of their son, right?
I am very proud of him.
Well, I actually had a really small head, but he's been talking about me a lot. So
it's just now matches my body. Now it fits his body. So yeah.
He was a pinhead when we got here.
he's also the father of my granddaughter, so I got to treat him right so I can spend time with my granddaughter. Absolutely. Otherwise, he's liable to say, forget you, pal. You said, no, I didn't.
You know, it's really funny. So no lie. Like before we came to SHOT Show, my buddy was just raving about ATR. He was like, "Dude, I'm all about buying. I got my rifle all set up. I'm looking at which one to get." And he's like, "You gotta check out their booth." So I lost the name because we had such a crazy
ATN. Yeah.
Oh, ATN. Sorry.
ATN. Yeah.
And we had a crazy.
You lost it again.
See, you know,
but
look,
that's okay. You found it. It's
no
all right.
Sleep. No sleep. Trying to travel out here. It's
letting your dad sleep late while you got up early.
Right. So
SHOT Show is tough. It really takes a toll on you. You got to hydrate.
We've done it 15. This is our 15th year. It's just nuts.
This is my 14th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I beat you at something.
Well, you got me on age, too.
I did? I'm
Ooh.
Old. He's pretty good at this.
Yeah.
Zap.
Like that magic guy. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I was meaning to come by anyway, and then so, you know, we saw it, and then I get to see these because he's just raving about the night vision, and I
right.
Know,
now this guy's a shot. This guy's a shotgunner, so because he competed for a while, and we hunt birds, and so if it flies, it dies, and we eat it.
Nice.
And
night vision optics for my.
And I'm thinking, how do you get night vision optics for your upland game gun?
20 gauge.
Sure. It's a pheasant.
20 gauge. All right. I can do it for that.
The other thing is I'm a tech geek. Okay, I have got tech everywhere. I love tech on my airplanes. I love tech in my house. I've got tech, you know, tech everywhere. And you guys did something with this that in setting up these scopes, even the non-IR ones, which is just like makes so much sense. All of the problems that you have with an optical scope go away.
Yep.
And when it comes to things like instruction, where the instructor can sit here with an iPad and see what you're seeing while you're seeing it and going, no. There you go.
It is a fantastic training tool.
Yeah.
I love that tool. I use it with my kids when I kind of coach them with air rifles in the backyard. I could power my scope on, see what my son is seeing, kind of instruct him on the breathing, on the trigger squeeze.
So it's, I mean, I'd love to go back and have some of the instructors that I've worked with in the past work with them now on the ultra long range stuff, the mile plus stuff, and get better at that. So something like that is brilliant.
Now, so you brought some toys with you. What did you bring?
Well, I brought to us to this event our latest generation 5 platform, which we're launching at SHOT Show this year. It's a totally brand new platform. So last few years, we've used our Obsidian 4 platform, which had only a dual-core processor. We've upgraded the system completely. Now it's a quad-core, so more processing power, more efficient, faster, more powerful. New features are now available in these systems. We've slimmed down the size of the product also as we get better in the manufacturing process and design elements because we do everything in-house, right? We have our own electrical engineers, optical engineers, our own programmers, our own software developers. We source best of breed sensors, electronics, components, and we have them assembled and produced for us. So at SHOT, we launched this week our new generation of thermal weapon sights, digital day-night sights, and an upgraded model, which we've had before, and our customers loved this smaller, ergonomic, lightweight thermal weapon sight.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it didn't have video record capability, so we listened to our customers, and we added that in there. And now we're also offering additional sensors sensor options in that model. So before we only had 160 and 320 resolution, and now 640 is available in this as well.
Wow.
And we're going to be introducing retail-wise sub $3,000 for a 640, which is really putting pressure down on the industry and making sure that others are honest and giving the best value to the consumers as possible.
Now, okay, so if I'm Joe American, which I am, and I don't have any experience with night vision type optics at all, which I don't, so I'm just going to ask the, you know, knucklehead question. I do know the answer to this question, but I would love to hear a better explanation so that maybe I don't, maybe I think I know the difference, but I don't. What is the difference between night vision and thermal imaging?
It's like comparing apples to oranges, honestly.
Yeah. So
and your
and I guess I would say, what is the difference, and where is one applicable and the other applicable?
So thermal is great for detection, right? Because it could see so much farther than night vision. Heat.
So it's picking up heat.
It's picking up heat and thermomagnetic radiation, and the Honeywell really pioneered in the 70s the technology, and they licensed it to a bunch of manufacturers that make sensors around the world. Different manufacturers make different various sensors. We use European sensors from Leonard, which used to be Eulis, but the way that thermal works is there's a thermal sensor with a core. It picks up the thermomagnetic radiation, and with the electronic process and algorithms, it translates the image onto a digital display producing the image, right? So you could see trees, vehicles, anything, everything produces some kind of energy, right? Thermomagnetic radiation. So you could see a table, you could see a person, but people emit heat because we're 98.6 degrees. The thermal, you know, and animals also higher temperature, it picks up hot objects a lot easier at night. So if you, let's say, pitch black night and you're looking with thermals somewhere out there, a hot target, something that's alive, will light up like a Christmas tree, basically. You can see that. With night vision, depending on if you're using intensification tubes or CMOS digital night vision that we have, with CMOS, it's a lot more economical. Mm-hmm. And you could do a lot more things with digital nowadays, like video recording, ballistic calculator. With traditional night vision, because it's an analog system, it's been that way since, I want to say, originally 1950s, the first Gen 1s. And even till today, the progression, even the Gen 3 stuff, the elite stuff from Elbit and L3 Communications, which bought Harris, that make high-quality Gen 3 image intensifier tubes for U.S. military, law enforcement, and commercial markets, of course, they use, it's an analog system. So it's very difficult to do things like onboard video recording and other advanced things. The technology hasn't changed much in the last 20 years, per se. There's been improvements in manufacturing and all those things, and higher level of resolution, signal to noise, so you could see a better picture. And with traditional night vision, you don't need an active IR source. Like starlight, moonlight will give you enough ambient natural light at night to produce an image for you, right? Digital systems, they're more economical, but they're heavily dependent on an active IR source. So you have to have an auxiliary infrared illuminator that projects an invisible light in a 850 milliwatt spectrum to about 940 milliwatt spectrum, depending on your purposes. So 940, you can't see with your naked eye. Right? So you have an IR light, and somebody's like far away, and you're flashing, you know, and you turn it on. A 940, a human eye can't see it. With an 850, you can see a slight red glow, but you could see it much further with the system. So depending on your need, right? And so CMOS technology or digital technology has progressed significantly. Like the Gen 5 that we launched this week, we're using a 4K plus sensor with ambient temperature control. So we're getting resolutions 4,000 something by 3,000. It's a crazy resolution.
That's
and
crazy.
The new scopes can actually record in real 4K, not upscaling, not an HD.
Wait a minute. They in real 4K?
Real 4K.
Wow. Anyway, I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, please. Any questions, that's why I'm here.
No, this is helping a lot because I'm just trying to get a handle on it.
And you can't do those types of things with traditional night vision. That's only that use image intensification. If you, let's say, turn traditional night vision, or in the industry called IT squared, during the daytime, you overexpose the tube and the tube goes bad. You can't, you won't be able to salvage it, basically. So traditional night vision, is you only use it during nighttime, right? With digital night vision, you could use it both day and night, because the CMOS is not, doesn't get damaged by sunlight or daylight, right? There is a mechanism for it to switch, so you could use it both day and night. So like this system, the X-Sight 5, you have true 4K resolution during the daytime with full color image, vivid, crisp images. At nighttime, you see a black and white image because there's not enough light to produce a color image, right?
Right. Yeah. Very, very. Any questions, Nick? Kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it, and I have to say, I mean, it's hard for me to not be intimidated just because of the lack of knowledge and understanding. But I'm looking at the buttons, and I'm looking at the technology. I'm not quite a rock biter, but I am also, I'm not exactly, I don't have a college degree either, I'm sort of the middle dude.
You know, honestly, they're very intuitive. If you know how to use a cell phone, a smartphone, you're able to use this stuff.
Well, that's fantastic.
It is that easy. We make it very intuitive. We have a graphical user interface. If you know how to press a button, menu pops up. You just select what you need to do, and it's as simple as pressing a button at times. It's very intuitive, honestly.
So, Steve, when would you – so you've got a rifle, and you want to put a night vision, sort of night vision optic on it of some kind.
Right.
When would you choose, and why would you choose thermal as opposed to
And I apologize for digressing. Yeah, so you asked a very good question, thermal versus night vision, right? So night vision has great resolution, so you could recognize detail. Like you would be able to see your facial features much more better with night vision or digital night vision versus thermal. Thermal, you'll see an image of the person. Like my glasses, if you look at me at thermal, it'd be like a black over my eyes because I wear glasses. It'll be like a black spheres because glasses don't transfer heat. Mm-hmm. But you'd see the beard outline. You'd see some things, but if, let's say, people of that identical size and height stand next to each other, with thermal, it will be very hard to distinguish between the two. With night vision, you'd be able to tell who's who.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, but at the same time, I'm sorry, go ahead, Nick.
Well, okay, so that works out with deer hunting because, like if you can't go for a doe, but you go for a buck, maybe with thermal at night, you'd be able to find the buck.
You can't hunt a deer at night.
Oh, it's illegal. I didn't know that. Well,
there you go. You learned something, didn't you?
Well, I just learned something real quick.
Because per regs, I don't know any state that allows hunting below certain hours. You have sunrise till sunset. Those are legal deer hunting hours. Now, predator hunting is different. Like hog hunting, coyote hunting, bobcats, some other types of nuisance animals. Some people do like farms pest control, like rats and mice. They use thermal to take care of rodent populations on farms, like dairy farms and all those things, with air guns. Honestly, there's actually a lot of cool videos on YouTube.
Cool,
you could watch that stuff. Visit our channel. We have a ton of cool videos on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, we'll do that. So if I'm, you said that thermal. So forgive me. I'm not a veteran. And I've never hunted anything at night. So with thermal, let's say there's an animal I'm looking for and it's in the bushes, I would see it with thermal where I may
depending
not see it.
How thick the bushes are.
Where I may not see it with night vision?
Definitely will not see it with night vision because the IR would either bounce back from the bushes.
Yeah.
It'll kind of obscure.
Reflect, right?
Reflect, or you won't be able to see your target. With thermal, if let's say it's light brush, you'd be able to see a heat signature behind the brush. Or if there's like other environmental conditions like haze or fog that obscure your vision with night vision, thermal will be able to see that. And that's why, Pete mentioned, airports use thermal because fog, haze, those type of environmental conditions, they could still see the airplane touching down, taking off, and seeing the temperature variances on the runway to make sure that the conditions are safe.
Now, are there certain types of these types of optics that are available to civilians and certain kinds that are not?
Everything we manufacture is available to civilians.
Okay.
I know that to a certain degree with some certainty that all uncooled portable systems, because what Pete was talking about are cooled systems are very large.
They're big, yeah.
And demand a lot of power to cryo cool those systems to get that long range. With uncooled systems, the microbolometer, they're much smaller. You don't need to have a cooling process to have the system work properly, right? And you still get a great image, but you don't get as far of a range. Like, you're not going to get 2 miles or something with an uncooled system. But this year, we're launching the Thor 5 XD that with the first commercially available, you know, affordable 1280 by 1024 resolution thermal sensor.
Wow.
Which is going to retail for about $5,500.
Now, are your customers largely, are they hunters?
Pete just smiled. I can't believe that.
No, you're going to, I can tell you already, you're, awesome. They already so you're cool. selling something to Pete. I mean, you may be selling more than one something to Pete. Are your customers mostly hunters, or are they people who are worried about self-defense? Or are they...
Actually, it's a mixture. We cater to a cross section of a lot of different customers, from hunters to people that are preppers, tactical guys. We work with the government, with law enforcement, the military entities. We work with prime military contractors. So we have a slew of different customers, but we work with a lot of different customers.
Sure.
Imagine you're out on the property in Arizona. And you're out there, and you've got the windows or the tents open, and you're hanging out, and you hear something coming up the road.
Yeah.
You can pick this up, take a look, and you can tell, is what's coming up the road two-footed or four-footed?
So I can't just put the gun outside the tent or the RV anymore and just keep pressing the trigger a bunch of times and go like this? I'm kidding.
Probably not. But you'd be able to tell. You'd be
as
able to tell, is it one
buck.
Person, two person, four person? You can see, see how many people, what's going on. You'd be able to tell. Oh, look, I don't see anything behind. They've got this great big giant dark spot behind them. They're wearing backpacks, right? You'd be able to see all sorts of.
Or maybe a weapon. You could probably see a weapon outline because it's cooler than the body temperature.
Yep.
Sometimes you can actually see if somebody's conceal carrying also.
Okay, now you bring that up. To talk about SHOT Show. The first time we came to SHOT Show, it was really funny because we read the instructions that you can't carry a gun in SHOT Show.
Right.
So we didn't. And I carry a gun every day everywhere. Sure. Right. So we didn't, none of us, and here I am with, one of the guys was a police officer at the time. He just retired at the end of December. So he didn't carry because, he didn't want to get sideways of any of that. So then we get down in the military section of the show, and there's a company down there selling they sell to the military, and they have these incredible FLIR technology, mm-hmm. and the big binoculars. And they were so expensive, I was afraid to pick them up because I thought, oh my gosh, if I drop these, I'm going to be out of money for the rest of the year. But I started looking through them, and sure enough, I see the outline of a gun on this guy and the outline of a gun on this guy. And we joking. I walked around talking to Wu, that afterwards, because he was the cop, and we're laughing. And I said, you got to look through these. And I looked, Mike, you got to look through these. We realized that, you're not supposed to carry. We were the only people here that weren't carrying guns, it seemed, because everybody down in the military section was all carrying. Now I'm going to get NSF. Mark's going to come over here and watch this or listen to it and say, hey, wait a minute, who's carrying? That was years ago, Mark, from NSSF. Probably right. Nobody does it anymore. But right. I did. But to your point, we were able to see the outlines. It's very interesting.
Right.
So when would a hunter, for example, choose one as opposed to the other?
It depends on utility, depending on what the game you're hunting or what you're doing, it's very case-by-case scenario, right? Because what is applicable to one scenario may not be applicable to another, right? If you're mainly a predator hunter and you hunt at night and you're looking for hogs or coyotes, thermal is definitely king right now. It's the hottest thing on predator hunting scene. If you're hunting, let's say, a deer or elk or some other animals and you want to see the recognizable detail, much more better. I would suggest something like a digital day-night system where you could use a day and night.
Now, obviously, you can't hunt deer because you just mentioned that. But I mean,
at night,
right.
But during the daytime, during legal hours, some states allow using electro-optics. Again, you should always check with your local state regs and your local game warden because it very varies from state to state.
Right.
And if you're going, if you're looking at any distance without a giant IR illuminator, if you're looking at any distance on a night with a full moon, you're going to be all set with night vision. But when that moon goes away, the only thing that's going to reach out there and let you see it is going to be IR.
Right.
Okay, so I want to make sure I understand. So you're talking about an IR illuminator. It's kind of like a flashlight that only shines.
It's an invisible light to humans and animals.
But it's visible to the system, so it helps provide light that the system can see.
Correct.
That's cool.
I'm just trying to put things in knuckleheads language over here.
No. That's good questions.
Is there an optic that does both?
Fusion systems tend to be very expensive, and there are systems like that. There are.
Yeah.
But if they were to take the best of their...
Big around and that long, probably, or something.
No. It would be this big around.
This big around.
And this long.
And this long. And this long. That's exactly right.
Right.
Wow. Cool stuff. You do some very interesting and cool stuff. Thank now, these you. Are for us, right?
Of course.
Right. Sure. But thank you very much. I do appreciate it. That's funny.
What's the difference? This one is...
This is a digital day-night system. This is a thermal system. It's a small... lightweight thermal system. It's a very basic entry-level system, so it doesn't have like ballistic calculator or different profiles like this system has. So this system, besides having an integrated laser rangefinder that talks to the integrated ballistic calculator, which will, once you laser ping, it tells the information, and you have you could do like six different profiles for different caliber weapons and change them to different weapons. Once you laser ping, it gives you a shooting solution to your laser, ballistic calculator instantaneously, and your POI shifts, so you don't have to do a holdover.
Within the optic.
That's the beauty of not having not having an etched reticle.
Right.
His engineers are giving you the reticle, and if they need to move the reticle in order to
compensate
for range, then they just move the reticle.
Right. So I might actually hit the target. You know, Nick can tell you that when I go shooting, I always hit something.
Better than
nothing. May not be the target.
Better than nothing.
Might be the berm behind it, but I always hit something. But this might actually help me hit what I'm trying to hit.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is really,
really. You just
pointed
out the Rolls Royce of Scott.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that is really amazing.
Wow, that's awesome.
But, you know, it's really not, when you're looking through, you're not looking at it through the – you're actually looking at a screen.
Yeah, a small digital OLED
small
screen,
digital screen, yeah.
Which is high resolution and, you know, it's almost as – look, depending on the system, but, you know, like the 4K system, it's almost like looking through like a regular glass. Is that clear?
That's amazing.
Wow.
You know what I love about being completely ignorant? I get to ask all the stupid questions and people don't mind.
You just make me look good. That's all.
I did. You look great. I got to tell you, you look great.
One of the great things of scopes like this, and one of the reasons why I've gotten so interested in them, especially of late, is you look at a scope and you don't get your eye directly in behind, and you, all of a sudden you start getting those halos and the black areas, and you're spending more time adjusting your head because you didn't shoulder the rifle correctly or whatever the case may be. You don't have that with this.
No.
You don't have any of the magnification problems with this. And you guys have far more flexibility when it comes to adjustability. You can say, well, you know, this may be a 30 MOA, but I've got to go to a 34 millimeter tube on an optic to get more than 30 up and down. You guys don't have those problems.
Oh, no. Like, our, you know, for reticle adjustments, like 270 clicks up and down, to left to right, it's crazy stuff.
That's insane.
And actually our systems have, and I'll give you a kicker. Our systems
please.
Have one shot zero. And before you spit the water out, what that does is you take a shot, you have basically two overlaying reticles, right? You keep one reticle at the center of the target.
Yeah.
The other reticle, you adjust with the buttons, move it to where you took your first shot. You click save, and you're zeroed.
Seriously?
Seriously. Yeah. You don't have to waste ammo. You don't have to click stuff and mess around and keep looking at your spotting scope. You know, how many clicks do I need to do left and right?
Two boxes down and three to the right.
That's insane. Yeah. I love that.
That's amazing.
That is awesome. And yes, I would have spit the water out. I'm glad you stopped me. Oh my goodness!
So if you're taking the normal scope off, if you go with an infrared and not a day night, if you went with an infrared and you take your scope off because you've been hunting pigs all day, and you put the IR on to go hunt the pigs at night, you just take one quick shot before you head out. Confirm your zero or reset your zero, and you're done for the rest of the night. And you can take the scopes on and off all you want, and you still don't have
a problem. He and I are making the same face.
That's wild.
Isn't that cool?
That's really cool.
That is just amazing. Okay, so now
now it's a must-have.
It's a must-have, yes.
I've studied too much about you guys.
I texted my wife and said, I got another thing on the list.
Well, it's a must-have, except I'm in the wrong business. I got to, obviously. Okay, so here's the – now I'm going to get into the legal political question. I hate to do it, but I'm going to – I know there's got to be politicians out there who are vilifying these things and trying to make it impossible for civilians to have. It's got to be happening.
You don't need an FFL to buy one or a license, not a gun.
No, I understand, but are there states that are trying to – right now we got states trying to outlaw armor.
That's true. California actually doesn't allow hunting big game with electro-optics that emit an IR light, like an active light. And it's questionable if thermal's legal in California either because it's an electronic scope. They really did a great job of writing an asinine code that is so confusing. I can't even tell it apart.
That's what we do best in California.
and they do it.
Confusing and asinine.
They do it repeatedly and often.
Yes, that's right.
Crazy.
Well, we're good at it. Why not?
Yeah. Are there other states like that?
There are states that don't allow using electro-optics to hunt. There's been a lot of advocacy to change the regs on the books.
Yeah.
But, it's very, very, very state by state. I don't know every state laws by heart, but, it's one of those things that people want to use this technology to be more ethical hunters because they can do so much more. And actually, if you're like hunting a deer, you can, have a timestamp and show a game warden you're within legal hunting time, because you have an actual record of you taking the shot, and the video to prove it, and you have a timestamp on there as well. So I don't really understand why they'd be opposed to that. I know the whole fair chase and all that stuff, but it doesn't change anything, honestly.
You know what I see in it, too, is you mentioned being an ethical hunter. I like the idea of being able to look back at the video later and going, what happened when I made that shot?
Right.
Because then I can, anytime you can go back and review your performance on something, you have an opportunity to improve it. Whereas if it's something that is only in your memory, you have to remember, what did I do? How did I do it? What was I? So I love the idea of reviewing a video afterwards as a hunter and trying to improve so that I'm not making unethical shots. I'm not wounding an animal. I don't want to have to walk 3/4 of a mile to go find it. But right. At the same time, I also don't want to do inappropriately or for no other reason than I'm not really doing a very good job. Have this animal suffer for the next half an hour, 45 minutes while I'm trying to find it.
Sure.
So I love the fact that's just marvelous. And then as where the hogs are concerned, the truth is hogs are feral and they are a pest. And they destroy a lot of property. And, of course, they're largely nocturnal and they get out. So without this kind of tool, putting an end to that and having them not destroy property like crazy would be very, very difficult. What an absolutely marvelous tool.
We were talking about it earlier, and we may have skipped over it, but too fast. But think about this from the instructor's standpoint. There's Wi-Fi built into that.
Right.
And you can watch it on your phone. You can watch it on your iPad. You can broadcast it up on a big screen TV. You could be at SoFi Stadium watching the whole thing there. and see exactly what the shooter sees in real time.
Isn't that a trip?
Imagine that as an instructor being able to see that.
Oh, that would be huge. I mean, I own a training company. That would be absolutely huge.
And if you slow down the video when you replay it, if they're yanking the trigger and you see a little down left before the recoil, you're going to see it. And then you'll see the recoil, and you'll see how far off they're getting on the recoil. And, you need to tuck this in a little tighter. You need to work on this. You need to work on your recoil management, whatever the case may be.
Breathing, yeah. Squeezing the trigger correctly. Yeah.
Every one of the fundamentals. Okay, so when we talked yesterday, and he was all interested in doing this, which thank you very much. Once again,
Producer Pete comes up
with a great idea that I thought, okay, I don't know how interesting this interview is going to be.
I get one of them every couple months.
You get one about every 3 hours, I think. So we're just chatting yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know what we're going to talk about too much. He's going to bring in scopes that let you see at night. I mean, I was never a veteran, so how does that apply to me as just your average American gun owner? But the technology is so astounding. You know, so we just bought my wife a brand new car, and she's been calling me the last couple of days and texting me, hey, my car does. Right, because we bought her a top-of-the-line car,
right.
And it does all kinds of cool. We rented a Tesla, and every time we get in this thing, we're astounded by something it does that we didn't realize it does.
Right.
And I think this is the same kind of thing. I suspect I could sit there and fiddle with that for a month and a half and discover something new that I didn't know it did, because who reads the manual? I mean, let's be honest.
I write the manual, so I have to read it.
Yeah, well, you have to read it. You have to read it. No, this is great, great stuff. I apologize. I think we've run kind of out of time, so I want to give everybody last. Nick, you want to do last word? Go.
Last word. Well, one, I really love the design. It looks super slick. You know, I always think about, like, you know, you see the video games of, like, what the thermal looks. It's got this weird big box on it, and you're kind of like, I don't know. But that just looks slick. It's a really sleek scope. And honestly, from what it has, I'm looking at a Rolls Royce of scopes right here, which is fantastic. You got a great product. And I literally just texted my wife and said, hey, we're going to have to set some money aside. So that's what it is. I'm sorry.
And, of course, she's home with the baby. Wait, what? So. All right, Pete, last word, go.
I have to text my wife and tell her that our 401k took a mysterious hit in the stock market.
Took a five or 10 grand hit.
I think the product is, again, the tech in me loves the concept. The shooter in me, I see everything that you're doing. I see where this can go in the future. I see the potential. You could go out to, if you wanted to, 100 magnification. Things that are just beyond
stupid crazy,
beyond comprehension, and really beyond realism in an optical scope. You guys could do that and could make it happen. And every 6 months as the new sensors come out, I mean, you guys
we're only limited by the technology that's available in the marketplace.
Yeah, and every 18 months it's doubling. So,
well, you know, as I've said many times, I got a buddy who's a computer guru, and he always says there's two kinds of technology, experimental and obsolete. So the minute it's available, it's already obsolete because somebody's experimenting with something that's a little bit better. It's just really
interesting. It's true, but for our industry, the life cycles are a bit longer because, right. You know, a lot of testing goes into it. You have to make sure that the scopes, you know, can withstand the recoil, that it's a good quality product. You know, people are investing in their hard-earned money, and, you know, we want to do right by the consumer, right? We want them to have a long-lasting product that they enjoy and can go out in the outdoors and do what they love.
And I think we've talked about the value of these quite a bit, but I want to give you a last word now. And I'll let you say whatever you want, obviously, but I think there's a lot of folks out there like me who've been shooting. I've been shooting since I was 5, been hunting since I was a kid. Never considered even buying any kind of scope that would help me identify targets at night. Now you've got me. Now I'm going to have to ask my wife and see if I can. You know, I'm like these
we're
guys,
all
right?
Asking our wives
Yeah, we're all asking our wives.
Jeez.
Right now. So
I'm just hiding it from mine.
I'll give you last words on this for customers that have never thought about it but might want to. And no, he's not paying us for this. I'm not a shill. Go ahead.
Well, if I have to say one thing, I'd like to say that the reason why a new shooter or somebody should consider this is the sheer fact that you can capture your moments, your experiences, and retain them for a lifetime. So if you're going on a once-in-a-lifetime kind of a hunt, and you want to capture that moment, seeing that elk or that deer or whatever, pig hunting, and you could capture that, and you could relive that moment, because not everybody has the deep pockets to go hunting, you know, anywhere around the world, or just even locally, domestically here.
Right.
Those experience, you know, we only live once, right? And those experiences are very valuable to us. And capturing them from your perspective, and having audio, and hearing yourself being excited, or hearing the nature around you, gives you a different perspective. Because, you know, like a traditional optic, you're in that moment, and your memory fades. You know, us as humans, you know, as we get older, things we forget.
As
right?
He looks at me, as we get older,
myself included.
Yeah, no, I know, I get it.
With a capability of just the sheer fact, besides all the functions and features that these can do, the sheer fact that you could record from that perspective, your perspective during the hunt, and you can do even cool things like if you mount, let's say, your trophy, you could have a digital picture frame, and you could have the video replay. You can say, you know, friends come over, I took this, you know, stag here in Montana or whatever, where I was, and this is the video from it. You know, you could have an actual experience besides just the trophy, and you could relive that moment.
Very, very cool.
One quick question. You mentioned recoil. How far have you guys gone with large calibers?
4.78, 4.71 H&H, and 4.15 Barrett.
Wow.
That's up there. That's some recoil. That's awesome. That's great.
And I think we're out of time. Steve, thank you very much.
Thank
would you,
for
you come
me.
Back on the show again?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we'll make sure that we stay connected, okay? Because
okay.
I would love to have you guys come back on periodically. Sure. I'd love to have you come on.
Appreciate that.
You're the star of the show. All right, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you very much for listening to the entire interview. I'm very, very grateful that you did. We have a few more of these, and I'll be posting them probably a couple of times a week until we run out. And then from now on, I know I've mentioned this once, I'll probably mention it again. From now on, I will be posting any interviews that I do on Gun Guy TV. I'll post as a podcast, audio only, so that you can listen to them in your car or whatever. It's just a little easier to consume some of those this way because they're quite long sometimes. So look for those as well, in addition to the normal podcasts we do around the 5th and the 20th with Pete and Sam Paredes and Rick Travis. Have a great week. Thank you so much for listening. And wherever you go, whatever you do, stay safe.
You've been listening to the Gun Guy TV podcast.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.